The Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I'm excited about today's message as we continue learning of what it means to be rooted in Christ. Today's message is entitled, Rooted in Christ's Wisdom. Now, I want to tell you before we even have scripture reading that many of us, without really thinking it through, we make decisions that are not based on Christ's wisdom. Have you ever heard the phrase, just do what comes natural? Just go with the flow? Go with your gut feeling? And oftentimes, those decisions bring poor fruit. We've already learned this year that if we're going to be rooted properly, then we're going to have the right fruit. And so today we want to learn how to get rooted down into Christ's wisdom with the decisions that we make in this life. And I want you to read with me James chapter 3 and beginning in verse number 13 for our text. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation with his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, I want to take a moment to greet those that are watching us down in Castaic and our other extension ministries, and let's have a word of prayer now and ask God to bless this message. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you this morning for the infallible Word of God. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, that you would take this time that we have in your Word, strengthen us, and help us to be rooted in your wisdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For 25 years as the pastor of this church, there are certain things that I have tried to pray every single morning as I pray through my prayer list. Certain things I try to ask God for every single day. And one of those things that I pray, number two on my prayer list, and by the way, on the top of my prayer list is myself. I need the most prayer of anyone I know about. And so I always pray, first of all, to be filled with the Spirit. And secondly, I pray every morning for the wisdom of God. Every day I claim James 1:5. And it's in your notes. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And every day I say, Lord, I'm going to face things today that I've never faced before. I'm going to have to make decisions today or give counsel today. And Lord, I need your wisdom today. And I ask God for wisdom. And I encourage you to do the same every single day. Now, our text for the year is Colossians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. And in that text, we read a few weeks ago that we are to be rooted and built up in Christ. And then we read in verse 8 where it said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And it becomes very obvious when you look at the book of James, when you look at the book of Colossians, that there really are two pools of wisdom available to us today. There are two realms of wisdom, if you will. There is the tradition of men on one side, the world's wisdom. There is the teaching of God or God's wisdom. We're told in James that we can have heavenly wisdom, the wisdom of God for the asking. We're told in Colossians that we are to do everything we can to beware of the rudiments of the world or the wisdom of the world. Now, the world's wisdom is shouting at us every day. It's on the radio, it's on the television, it's in the reasonings of our own fleshly desires. And the world, many times, is shouting at us what we should do and the way that we should go. But God says, I have wisdom for you if you want to walk in my ways. And so this morning, I want us to look not only at the contrast between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, but more importantly, how can we walk in the wisdom of Christ in this new year? How can our lives and our decisions be based in a rooted relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, the first thing you'll notice about being rooted in Christ's wisdom is that there will be a demonstration of godly wisdom. Wisdom is not something that is merely spoken. Wisdom is something that will be demonstrated. And so when someone is rooted in Christ, there will be a demonstration of that rootedness. Notice why I say this in verse 13. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Now notice the demonstration of godly wisdom then is going to be shown first of all through someone's works. It's going to be in our works evident that our decisions are being made from the Word of God. And there is a question that is asked in verse number 13 which says, "Who is a wise man and endued among you?" And this is going back to verse number 1 in the same chapter which says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall all receive the greater condemnation." The word master speaks about being a teacher. And the wise men, he's saying, who is the wise one among you, the one who can teach, the one who has the ability to give encouragement and knowledge? Who is that one? And in verse 13, he says in this term, who is a wise man, notice, and endued with knowledge among you. The word endued speaks of experience. It speaks of having received something from God. Now, we know that there are many such men in the Bible who in their lives were endued with such wisdom. Daniel, the prophet of the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 28, was giving revelation to the king. And he said in verse 28, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." And Daniel was saying, in essence, look it, I'm not giving you my interpretation of this matter. I'm telling you there's a God in heaven that has revealed this to me. And he had an endowment, if you will, of the wisdom of God. So in the New Testament, we read that there were men who were being selected to serve in the church at Jerusalem. And the Bible says of those men in Acts 6 and verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So when the text says, where are the godly among you? Where are the wise men among you? The question is asked in that way. And we are asking that question this morning. Who are the wise ones that are seeking God's wisdom instead of the world's wisdom? Where are those men today? Where are those women today? And then we get the answer in the same verse. It says, "Let him show you out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So the question is, where's the wise men? And the answer is, you'll see it in the way they're living. Okay? And so there is going to be a demonstration when we are rooted in Christ's wisdom. We're going to learn more about that in just a few moments. But when we are rooted in Christ's wisdom, then James is telling us there is going to be a demonstration of it in verse number 13, the good conversation of our lives. Now, you've studied the word conversation before. Conversation is a lifestyle. It's the way we're living. It's the way that one is demonstrating their faith before this lost and dying world. And the true test of wisdom comes with how that wisdom is being worked out in our lives. For example, in our church's theme verse, Philippians 1:27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation," there's that word again, "your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." So James says, you want to know who the wise one is? It's the one whose conversation is filled with good works. And Paul says, let your conversation be that which is becoming of Christ. It needs to be distinct. It needs to be godly. Now, in this day in which we live, we see every day examples of those who talk about wisdom, but their lives are not living out the wisdom. And how many of you are getting the idea? God wants us to be hearers and not doers. God wants us not to just talk the talk, but he wants us to walk the walk. Our Vice President Joe Biden often speaks about the disparity between the rich and the poor in America, and how we need more taxes, and we need to help everyone out, and there needs to be this this brand of equalization that he speaks about, and so forth. And everyone would agree in some sense we need to help those that are in need, and we need to see the economy get better. But it was so interesting to me this past week when his taxes were released to see that last year he gave to charity $336. Now, someone might say, boy, he sounds so wise to say how many people out there need help. How many people are not getting what they need. But the fact of the matter is that in his conversation, the way he lives, according to that statistic, at least, there certainly is a disparity. He's not walking in the wisdom that he is talking. Some of you have heard of the Richard and Oral Roberts family and the evangelist from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Richard Roberts is currently preaching weekly on a television show entitled Your Hour of Healing. Your Hour of Healing every Sunday morning. And this past week, Richard Roberts was pulled over for drunk driving. Now, the fact of the matter is that when we as Christians are not living according to the wisdom of the Bible, it doesn't matter how much we talk about healing or helping. If we're not living out in our conversation, then we're not demonstrating godly wisdom. And what I want all of us to recognize this morning is that we not only want to hear about it, but we want to pray even during this message, Lord, help this truth to get into my heart and life so that I become rooted in your wisdom, so that I do not walk in such a way, because that's what conversation is. It's our walk. I don't want to walk in such a way that's the opposite of what your word has taught me. So the demonstration of godly wisdom will be shown, number one, in our works. He's a wise man, not because of what he says, but because of the way he lives. Secondly, you'll know someone is walking in wisdom by their spirit. Now, this is very important. But the spirit of a man will indicate whether or not he's walking in the Word of God. Now, you know, you've heard this saying before, garbage in, garbage in, garbage out, right? So, some of you are highly influenced by music. And you go into the mall and you walk into Old Navy and man, they're just pumping that music out, some of the younger generation especially, and all of a sudden, it affects even the way you walk. I mean, someone walks into Old Navy and they walk into a store like that with loud pulsing music, and they're walking in, they're just kind of walking like this, hey, how's it going? And by the time they get about 15 minutes, it's bum 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 bum. They're totally different when they walk out. You know? I mean, the music just did something to them. They came under the influence of it, you know. Sometimes people listen to angry music and they can become real jittery, and you say to them, how's it going? Why? What do you want to know for, you know? And so people are affected by the things they take in affect their spirit. Now, the scriptures teach that if we're taking in the wisdom of God, it will affect our spirit. Look at that, if you would, in verse 13. It says, excuse me, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Would you say that with me now? Ready, begin. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with, you see the spirit there? His works with meekness of wisdom. There's going to be a sense of meekness or humility in the wise man or woman. They're not saying and showing you something that's helpful for the purpose of saying, let me show you how much I know. Let me impress you with how much. There's going to be a spirit of meekness in their life. Now, oftentimes when God gives us a little success, when our conversation and lifestyle is going well, it's easy to get filled up with pride, just like the kid who's riding his bike with not holding the handlebars and saying, look, mom, and kind of proud of himself. We can get proud of our walk, but the true wisdom walk is a walk that is filled with meekness. I heard about a woman after going on a diet. She got to getting filled up a little bit with some pride and feeling pretty good about herself, And she was especially filled up with pride when she was able to fit into an old pair of jeans that she hadn't worn for a long, long time. And she put those jeans on and she said, "Look, look," she shouted to her husband, "I can wear my old jeans again." She was so proud of that. And her husband looked for a long time, struggling with what to say. Finally, he just had to say it. He said, "Darling, I love you, but those are my jeans." Now, sometimes about the time we think we're doing so good, all of a sudden it's not everything we thought it was. So we're probably better off not to brag about how good we thought we were doing, right? Someone that's walking in wisdom has a spirit of humility or meekness in their life. Let me give you five characteristics briefly of someone growing in humility. I think, first of all, biblically, this person is someone that is seeking guidance from above. This is someone that recognizes, hey, I can't do this on my own. I've got to have God's wisdom. When I was a young man, I went to the Sacramento State Capitol on a field trip, and we were told, you know, we're going to go see where the governor works. And so I was about fifth or sixth grade, and so I had in my mind, I thought, we're going to go see the governor, you know. And I'm just going to say hi to Ronald Reagan for a minute and just fist pump maybe and see how things are going. And our state assemblyman, Alistair McAllister, at that time, he was walking us around, and we came by the door, and it said governor's office. There was a big vestibule and a kind of a receptionist, and I could look kind of back and see where it was. But there was a security guard that kind of said, "Keep moving, keep moving." And so the group kind of went ahead, and I just was determined that I was going to give Ronald Reagan a letter, you know. And I didn't get as far as his office, but I sneaked past the security guard and got into his secretary, and I said, "My name is Paul Chappell. I'm from San Jose, California. I have a letter here for the governor." They said, "Well, he's not available right now," but they took it. And to my delight and surprise, about a week or so later, the governor wrote me a letter back. I have it hanging on the wall in my office. And amongst other things, I want you to see what he said there in that little phrase under number one. He said, "I could not bear the responsibility of being governor for even one day if it were not for my abiding faith in God." You know, as Americans, we've always prayed for and looked to leaders who recognized, and we hoped that when they say that, they really meant it. And I truly believe that when we grow in this matter of walking in wisdom, that we will seek God's guidance from above. We will secondly seek godly counsel, Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall." Thirdly, we will admit our failure. We will come to the place, and how many of you are ready today to say, "Look, I know who I am. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God." And we need to be ready to say that. Number four, we will be willing to defer credit to others. And just to say, "You know what? It wasn't for him. It wouldn't have happened. Thank God for my wife and her faithfulness. Thank the Lord for these that have been such a help." So many times I hear people say, "I won him to the Lord, and I brought him to the church, and I got this invention made, and I am the one." And to an extent, the Lord used us. But we need to be careful that we don't bring to ourselves all the time as though it was because of us that it happened. Number five, someone growing in humility gives the glory to God. Amen? To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:31. "Let him that glorieth, that glory, let him glory in the Lord." And so the demonstration of godly wisdom is seen in our works and it is seen in our spirit. Now, that's a pretty high goal then this morning, to say, I want to be rooted in Christ's wisdom so that I can demonstrate wisdom in that way. But now let's notice, secondly, the devaluation of godly wisdom. We have a goal before us to walk in godly wisdom, to demonstrate godly wisdom, but the devil says, "Hey, I don't want people seeing Jesus in you. I don't want people to estimate in you what God is doing." So the devil's going to now fight because the devil wants God's children to look like fools. He doesn't want you to look wise. He wants you to look like a fool. And all of us have had times in our Christian lives where we would say, "You know what? I didn't look very wise today. In fact, I did about what the average unsaved guy would do. I got mad at my wife. I kicked the dog. I got mad on the whatever." And how many of you would say, "There's been times in my life when my day did not necessarily match my faith, and the devil fought me. And there was some times in our lives when we would say, I wish I would have walked with more wisdom today. So notice how that process begins to undermine. Notice what the Bible says in verse 14. But if, now say those two words with me, please. But if, because this is the contrasting section of the message. But if we have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, because this wisdom, it says, is descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Whoa! We've been talking about that which is of meekness and wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Now we've all of a sudden come to devilish and sensual and earthly. I mean, you can even be one of those that's not sure they're awake this morning and know there are certainly two kinds of wisdom in this world today. So the devaluation of godly wisdom. A Christian that has all of this wisdom available to himself or herself, if we live, as the Bible says in verses 14 and 15, with earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom, suddenly we devalue the testimony of Christ. Suddenly, we're not living in such a way that brings honor to Him. So notice, first of all, the word divisive. And I want you to jot that down, because we devalue God's wisdom when we as Christians are divisive. And it says in verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife. Strife is a desire to put oneself forward. It speaks of a partisan or fractious spirit. And normally you don't like to see that amongst friends. I've been watching the Republican candidates in their primary season here. And in order to kind of jockey themselves as the one that's the best choice, they're fighting amongst themselves. And some would say that after a while of doing that, you're going to just hurt the whole group if you're just always fractious in your spirit, one towards another. And God's word says that a fractious, divisive spirit is not an evidence of heavenly wisdom. It means we've resorted to elements of the world in our relationship. Hence, we devalue the relationship. So when a man and a woman that are married, who have God's wisdom, who have a commandment to show forth good works, who have the ability to have meekness of wisdom in the power of the Spirit, when they resort to fractious strife and envy, they are devaluing, listen to me, they are hurting their marriage. And you are hurting your friendships when you become divisive, the Bible says. And it says in the Scriptures that divisiveness evidences itself in pride. Notice in verse 14, it says, glory not. Don't get to the place where you're filled with pride. And the Greek word here for glory not speaks about selfish ambition, and sometimes was used in the context of seeking political office. And the Bible says, don't glory, because in this divisiveness, you are increasing your pride. Secondly, in this divisiveness, you are increasing your lies. And lies will begin to come into the relationship. Notice what it says in verse number 14, glory not and lie not, you see. And so God says, I don't want you to devalue your walk in wisdom with a divisive lifestyle. And sometimes people that are walking in the world's wisdom will become divisive to the point of dishonesty. I heard of two men that were very competitive, and they were looking for a job, and they went to take a test for the job application. On completion of the job application, the manager went to the first applicant. He said, I want you to know we appreciate your interest, but we've decided to give the job to the second applicant. And the man said, well, why would you do that? We both had 9 answers correct and 1 answer wrong. And he said, well, we've based our decision not on the correct answers, but on the question that you missed, the manager said. He said, well, how could 1 incorrect answer for him and 1 incorrect answer for me, but I'm the one that's not getting the job? And the manager said, well, it's simple. He said, your fellow applicant on number 5 put down, I don't know, and you put down, neither do I. Now, in the world's wisdom, we glory, and in the world's wisdom, we lie against the truth. But the Bible says in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. And so we devalue godly wisdom when we become divisive, when we glory, and when we vaunt ourselves and even lie to promote ourselves. Secondly, we devalue godly vision when we resort to devilish tactics. Now look at verse 15. What a convicting verse. This wisdom, the kind that brings envy and strife, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now let me just say something. The way to build yourself up is not to tear someone else down. The wisdom of the world is not the wisdom that is from above. It is devilish wisdom. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And God is teaching us, don't resort to worldly tactics to get your job done. And so that which is devilish is referred to here in three ways: earthly, sensual, and devilish. Earthly, meaning from the rudiments of the world. And Colossians 2:8 says, we're not to seek wisdom from the rudiments of the world. We're to seek wisdom from above. And so earthly wisdom should be shunned. We're not to love the world, you see. Roy Hessian, in his book, The Calvary Road, said, it is always self who gets irritable and envious and resentful and critical and worried. It is self who is hard and unyielding in its attitudes towards others. And so we want to keep a spirit that is tender as opposed to earthly wisdom. Secondly, notice the word sensual. And this word is an interesting word. A Greek word, psychikos, speaks of the principle of animal life, or just doing that which comes natural. And we're seeing today that many in America are foregoing marriage because they're following sensual wisdom. They're doing what comes natural. They're following this psychikos wisdom. And instead of seeking God and doing that which is from above and walking in heavenly wisdom, they're just living like the animal life. And they're just kind of cohabitating and just doing what comes natural. But God says, don't follow sensual wisdom. And then thirdly, notice this next word, devilish. Devilish, resembling or proceeding from an evil spirit. Now you think about this. How many crimes have been committed and how much innocence has been lost because of men who followed devilish wisdom? This is my turf. I'm putting my graffiti on here. Don't you cross this turf or we're going to take you out. Devilish wisdom. Devilish wisdom causes rape. Devilish wisdom causes incest. Devilish wisdom causes revenge. It is devilish in the extreme. And we see a commandment to put aside devilish wisdom and believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Satan is behind this type of wisdom. Satan, Spurgeon said, Satan can make men dance upon the brink of hell as though they were on the verge of heaven. And if we follow his wisdom, we will truly, truly miss the mark of God's blessing. So the demonstration of godly wisdom, God says, if you're walking in godly wisdom, it's going to be very obvious that you, through your lifestyle, are following the teachings of the Word of God. But watch out for the devaluation of godly wisdom, because if you begin following the devil's tactics, if you walk after that which is earthly and sensually and devilish, you're going to devalue your testimony. So as a Christian, don't resort to the world's techniques in building yourself up. And then notice thirdly, if you would, the dignity of godly wisdom. Now we saw the devaluation of godly wisdom and how it is truly hindered. But notice how we can build up godly wisdom in our lives. And this comes to the real root of the message. Look at verse 17, and I want you to read it with me. James 3:17. Ready, begin. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Now, just reading that wonderful verse, how many of you would say, I want to walk in that verse right there? I want to be rooted in that kind of wisdom right there. So let's talk about it for just a few minutes as we close. First, the wisdom that is from above, that which is from God, that which is from heaven. Colossians 2 and verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So this wisdom comes from God's treasure chest. And I got news for you. There's no end to his wisdom. And God says, I've got plenty of it for you. Now think of the dignity that this wisdom produces. First of all, we read that this wisdom is pure. It is a pure wisdom. It is a reverential wisdom. It's pure from carnality. It's pure from pride and divisiveness. Do you see that in verse 17? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You see, a wise man doesn't laugh at a wicked joke. A wise man doesn't make his major life decisions from the counsel of the unsaved or those who have no fear of God in their life. A wise man wants that which is pure and that which is from above. So he says, if you want to see some dignity in your life, make sure that you're getting pure wisdom. That which is from above is pure. Secondly, he says it is peaceable. It is peaceable. Notice that. Notice the word pure, then peaceable. Bringing peace. It says if you follow the wisdom of God, there will come into your life the peace of God. Now, let's be honest. A lot of the trials in our lives and a lot of the discomfort and miscommunications and a lot of the family struggles and a lot of the employee-employer relationships that we know about came about because we were not living peaceably. We were not living in a peaceable manner, but we were living in a warlike manner, and we made things even worse because we didn't have that which was peaceable in our hearts. But I thank God today that when I walk in His wisdom, the result is a more peaceful life. You don't go to jail because you're walking in God's wisdom. Right? You avoid much of the penalty of life when you walk in God's wisdom because it's pure and it's peaceable. God's wisdom will not be found fighting with your spouse, and God's wisdom is not found yelling at your parent, and God's wisdom is not found just fighting your way through. God's wisdom is peaceable. And there are three realms of peace that you can find in God. Number one, and most importantly, you can find peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to me this morning. You will not find peace with God through the Baptist church. You will not find peace with God through the Lutheran church or the Catholic church. You don't find peace with God through church. We've said that already this morning. How many religious people have no peace? The only way to be at peace with God is to receive His Son, Jesus, as your Savior and to have a personal relationship with Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Say it with me. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me. We have peace with God through, not through a church, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we not only can have peace with God, but we can have inner peace. For the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which keepeth will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so God says, if you will follow my peace, I'll give you peace with God through Jesus. I'll give you peace within your heart through prayer. And then notice thirdly, he says, I'll give you the ability to live at peace with other people. The Bible says in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I heard about a mother who was preparing some pancakes for her boys. And the boys were kind of tussling, Kevin and Ryan. Kevin was 5, Ryan was 3. And they were fighting over who would get the first pancake. I don't really blame them. I understand that desire. And they wanted to have that first pancake, you know. And they were arguing and arguing. And the mom said, I'm going to teach him a good spiritual lesson. She said, now boys, she said, if Jesus were here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. And Kevin looked at Ryan and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. Now, a lot of people are willing to live at peace if someone else would just be more like Jesus. But this message is about us being more like Jesus, right? And the Bible says the wisdom that comes from Jesus is first pure, and then it is peaceable, and then thirdly, it is patient. It is patient. Now, look at what the scriptures say here in verse 17. Gentle and easy to be entreated, meaning fair, compliant. You can disagree without being disagreeable. Notice it says, being full of mercy. So we're seeing that this kind of wisdom is patient. So whenever you see someone red in the face and you see someone that's just ready to duke it out with someone else, you're not seeing heavenly wisdom here. because heavenly wisdom is pure and peaceable and patient. Ephesians 4:31. Look at that in your notes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Notice this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Who is it today that you need to forgive? Because when you do, you will be walking in God's wisdom. Sometimes it's harder to be merciful to some people. I know, for example, as a grandparent, it's easy to be merciful to people, especially my grandkids. The other day, Camden reached up. Man, he just scratched my face and got some skin under his little fingernails, and I was bleeding, and he's just looking at me and smiling, and if it would have been anybody else, I would have been saying something. It was Camden. I said, oh, thank you, Camden. That was a blessing. The way you just ripped the skin right off my face, what a blessing. I heard about a four-year-old grandmother and grandmother, a four-year-old child, and the four-year-old said, a four-year-old grandmother would be a miracle. Miracles, wouldn't it? And this four-year-old boy said to his grandmother, said, grandmother, said, I want unch. And she said, what? He said, I want unch. And she said, I don't think you want unch. I think you're trying to say you want lunch. And I want you to say it correctly. He said, I want unch. She said, now, you say it right. You tell me what you want, and you say it right. He said, Grandma, read my ips. Now, we can laugh at a child, but you know, when someone that's a grown adult is bothering us, it's sometimes a little harder, isn't it? But God says, I want you to treat others like you would treat those ones that are real easy, those ones that you love so much. I want you to have mercy in your heart. The wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable and patient. But then notice this, it is productive. The Bible says it is full of good fruits. All right, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When you are walking in God's wisdom, you're going to want to be involved in soul winning, because the fact of the matter is that we have a desire that comes from above. And God says, I want you to be a witness. And we're going to be involved in teaching. We're going to be involved in serving others. That wisdom comes from God. And God says, I want you to be productive. And then notice, finally, this wisdom is pleasing. Notice what it says in verse 17. Full of good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. It is something that is equitable. It is something that is sincere. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now here we get a glimpse at the dignity of godly wisdom. So let me ask you, with your family, with your work, with your relationships, have you been walking according to this world's wisdom, or are you walking according to heavenly wisdom? Are you walking in the dignity of God's wisdom? It all depends on how rooted we are in Christ. And if we're rooted in Christ, then Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and a man that getteth understanding. And you'll walk in dignity, and the fruit of your life will be dignity as you are rooted and grounded in Christ. Now, let me close with this morning. You will not walk in dignity, you will not bear the right fruit, unless you are rooted first in Jesus Christ. And I love what the Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, and I put it in your notes. It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's say that together. The fear of the Lord... We don't even start to walk in wisdom until we have the fear of the Lord. And in this context, let me say, the fear of the Lord would include confessing to the Lord and repenting before the Lord of the fact that we are sinners, and that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we cannot save ourselves, but that only by His blood we can be saved. And when you get to the place in your life when you have the fear of the Lord and you say, Lord, I thought I could make it on my own. I thought I could get to heaven by myself. But Lord, I truly believe that You are the only one who can save. And I repent of my sin and I ask You to come into my life and to be my Savior. Then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in your life. For the wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you cannot walk in wisdom until the Lord Jesus Christ is in your life. You cannot be rooted and grounded in Christ until you have God in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today that if you're seated in this room and you have never accepted Christ as Savior, then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See your need today to receive Christ as Savior. But if you have received Christ as Savior, then I want to challenge you. Don't devalue wisdom by walking after worldly and sensual and devilish ways. But walk in the dignity of that which is from above, that which is peaceable and pure, and that which produces good fruit. And sit here this morning and say, Lord, I want to walk in the wisdom that is from above. I don't want my neighbors to see I'm just like the other neighbors. I don't want the guys at work to think I'm just like the others. I want to walk in such a way that folks will know I am rooted and grounded in Christ.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.